New adventure and Pumlin on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm here with
Kaz,
Jules,
Mark,
Brian
from Red Lake King.
Nice, here at Blue Ridge Rock Festival. So, live music again, and you're here at a fucking awesome festival. How's it feel?
Yeah, it feels great. It's been opening up lately, and you know, I've been going to a lot of shows, and so have the guys. Actually, we've all been going to a lot of shows, and this is the second show out for us of many to come. So
nice.
It's just good to see. People are just genuinely excited just to be out.
Yeah.
And participating. And I don't know. The energy's really good out there, man. So, yeah.
I think if you're going to take a positive out of the pandemic, is all the people that were complaining because they were all entitled and didn't realize you could lose music at any given time are now kind of like, yeah, I don't give a shit. I just want to go to a live show.
Totally.
You know, I was like, I don't give a shit if some fifth grader got up on stage with a recorder. I'm going to that live show.
Well, we're kind of like fifth graders with recorders. Though.
There you go.
No, we're not.
And speaking of which, let's describe to the listeners how you as artists describe your music. Not genre shit, because I hate that. That just lumps people in. You know, how would you describe your music for those that don't know you?
Well, I hate to start with the exact thing you hate, but it's rock and roll. And rock and roll not from the genre sense, but, you know, from the literal sense, too, of just like lifestyle. You know, it's how the culture we came up in. I'm from Hamilton, which is a steel town. So a lot of music, hot rods, you know, bar fights, blue collar, right? So that's kind of what my music represents. It tells stories,
yeah,
as well as delivers something you can move to and feel. So really, it's just want to make music that people can feel. And it's sort of that, the angst and the, you know, sort of anti-establishment vibe that we bring to give the listener an experience, man. You know, we just want people to feel our shit and feel what we feel. So when we're making it, it's pretty authentic to who we are. So we don't try and get on like, oh, we want to sound like this person or sound like that person. We sound like us, you know?
Yeah.
And the four of us right here are really good friends, you know.
That's important.
You know, we're really looking out for one another, and so we have this, you know, bond that no one can really fuck with. And so when we make music, I hope that people can see that and feel that, man. We're a team, you know.
I'm sure they can, because you can always tell when you're watching a band live. Here you go. Whether they like each other or they're just like going through the motions.
It happens, you know. And well, not even that. There's so many relationships and dynamics in a band, you know. It could be like a family. So if you catch a band on an off day,
yeah,
their set's going to be off, you know what I mean? But same with recording. And we just, you know, we're in a good place right now. We're grateful to be doing it. We all enjoy doing it. We've all been, you know, collectively almost have two decades each, so you can imagine.
Nice.
Mark plays in a killer band called Sick Puppies as well. And
yes, I know that band a little bit.
Brian Weaver's right? Been playing in a lot.
I think you've sat down with me when, yeah, I've interviewed Sick Puppies, yeah, too, so.
Yeah. A few times, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. So, I do love that you said rock and roll, because to me, that's not a genre.
Right.
You know, the genres are
active rock,
technical, active, progressive, metal, yeah, core.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That ridiculous shit.
Yeah,
very specific stuff.
Right. You know, but rock and roll, you're right. It's not just a music. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And it's also, like you said, which I think has been missing and now coming back, that anti-establishment thing. Important, especially now. We need that more than ever now.
I
think you're good at writing those songs, for sure.
Buddy. I just see it like rock got real spoiled. And then when it got real, when people saw how many records they were selling and just the audience following, the demographic following a certain way, things become copied, success becomes copied, then things, you know, get really slick, and then it's about the result, and people stop making records, you know, and then it got to the singles market, and like, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but you know, we've had the carpet pulled out from underneath us so many times that I've gone broke so many times and been on so many different labels that I just don't give a shit anymore. And I just try to make each song great, and then the album has no filler. It's not about end result. It's just about us having fun doing it and what would we want to hear, and hopefully it resonates with people.
Key word and key phrase you just said there, what you would want to hear, because I think that's the only way you can be authentic. If you try to play music others want to hear, it's not going to be you.
Yeah, and I get that, because I do a lot of writing sessions in Los Angeles, and you know, and it's, people start off saying stuff right away, you know. It's like, oh, this is gonna, you could tell if it's gonna be good or bad. And you know, for the good thing about Red Light King is that's my voice. And it's these guys playing, so it's gonna have its own sound, you know. Not that we all don't have unique influences, because Julian has different influences than I do.
Right.
And
I think that's just like putting ingredients into a recipe.
Yeah.
You know. And like you said, the voice. We were just talking about that yesterday. There's certain bands that, without that voice, you can't replace that voice. Like when Motley Crue tried to replace Vince Neil. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's not the same. Or there's other bands, you know, there's a lot of them like that.
For better or for worse, too, because, you know, you can argue that with AC/DC and other bands and Van Halen and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm still Bon Scott team.
Yeah, of course.
I'm still Paul Di'Anno team.
Yeah.
But I do like Brian Johnson. I like Bruce Dickinson, but it's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm still on that old team.
It's just different, but it's still fucking great.
Right, 100%.
I mean, we're doing a lot of that.
Yeah, there you go.
Team Cliff Burton.
I was at the first Metallica show ever.
Really?
Yeah, before Burton.
Metallica was his first show. Julian's first show. His dad took him to Metallica.
Actually, no, it was actually a Megadeth show.
Whoa.
My first concert was Megadeth. I was 12 years old, and this was... I was with my brother and my dad. We were driving to Vegas. We're from Canada, but we did this whole road trip. And I remember we were just driving by. It wasn't even planned. My older brother and I, he introduced me to Pantera back in the 90s. And I was like 12 years old. And we saw a big marquee sign that said Megadeth. And it was 3 days away. And my dad is cool as shit. He was like, do you guys want to go to the concert? And we're like, hell yeah. So me, my 12-year-old self, my older brother, we pulled over and we stayed for 3 days. It was Flotsam and Jetsam.
Wow.
Then it was Fear Factory. Then it was a little-known band called Korn. And then it was Megadeth. And actually, Korn hadn't broke yet. They were actually, I'm sorry, correct myself, they were opening. But anyways, yeah, I'm 12 years old, and I met the guys in Flotsam and Jetsam, and they invited me up on their bus, and it was just... Was
Newstead in the band at the time?
No. He was in Metallica.
He was in Metallica at that time,
and right? I caught a couple of those shows, too, front row as a little kid, 15-year-old.
So
yeah, I had a good little first concert run.
There you go.
I was a disappointment as a child. My father just beat me. He didn't take me anywhere. What about your first concert run?
Oh, man. A lot of firsts. I can't beat that story.
Oh, my God.
Korn was one of my first concerts.
My dad used to say, what is this Motley Crue you're bringing around? He didn't even know what he was saying either. It was just, we were all at like spikes and nice. You know, all that shit. But what's...
Mine was Rush, and Metallica was my second. Oh. Yeah.
Rush was one of the ones we were talking about yesterday, like... I don't know, whoever I was with said something about somebody that did a Rush song, and like, you just can't do Geddy Lee. Oh, yeah. You can't replace Geddy Lee.
No. We covered Working Man.
Yeah.
old school Rush.
That's the song that came on the radio that brought up that conversation. We were driving yesterday from the venue, and Working Man came up, and that's how that conversation started.
Yeah, we played it today. It was fun.
Nice.
To give it justice.
Well, Canadian. I'm from the same
yeah.
city.
Yeah. Yeah. So there,
from
you
the
can.
Same city as
that. Then you can do it.
I mean, you can only try to do it.
It's yeah. I mean, it's on our record. It's on our last record called Moonshine. So it's on there. So judge for yourself.
Nice. Yeah. I took my son and my grandson into their first mosh pits ever. My son, it was Metallica Tattoo the Earth Tour with Slipknot opening for Metallica. So I put him in the Slipknot pit to warm up.
That's a gnarly pit for the first pit.
It is, yeah. So I said to him, I think he was like 13, and I'm like, listen, people are going to start shoving you. Don't get mad. Just go with the flow. It's cool. And then so when it started happening, I could see the look on his face. He was about to punch somebody out. And I just like was like, you know, chill out. 5 minutes later, grin ear to ear. I'm like, the baton has been passed.
That's great. Go ahead.
I'll speak to that. I think I was probably, I don't know, maybe 15 or 16, and I went to a Pantera show.
Nice.
And I was in the pit, and, you know, Pantera was notorious for having crazy mosh pits.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it was crazy. But if you fell down, you wouldn't even hit the ground before five people picked you back up.
That's the way it is, man.
It was like everyone's there to have fun. No one got hurt. It was the coolest experience ever.
I think tonight with Slipknot is going to get Slipknot pits. I've been in one of those. That is a crazy one, too.
It's muddy out there.
Yeah.
That could get fun.
That, I was definitely going to be in the Slipknot pit unless it's muddy. Because it gets so crazy in there, you can't even get out because it's so big. So, like, the med, I don't know, we'll have to see, but I've been in a few of the Slipknot pits. They are crazy. So tell everybody how they can reach you guys on socials, on the web,
yeah,
all that good
super
stuff.
Easy to find. It's just Red Light King on, you know, Instagram and Facebook are our main platforms, you know.
Spotify,
we got a brand new song that came out last week. It's called Cold Killer.
Nice.
And that's, we have a pretty solid YouTube channel too with that of all our videos on it. It's a decent amount of subscribers. So Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, all that stuff. It's just Red Light King, usually one word. And we have a website, redlightkingofficial.com. And yeah, man, we're just about to, you know, put out another, well, this single just came out, so we got a few more singles to come out before the album. The album will come out early next year.
Nice. And I also want to say, which I say with everybody nowadays, especially post-pandemic, or supposedly, that they need to buy your merch. Because bands can't survive without merch, 100%.
It's gas money.
Exactly.
The next city. If you want to see us in the next city, buy us.
I'm glad you put it that way, because people think, like, oh, they're making you rich. No, it's just so you can get to the next gig.
It keeps us on the road. Yeah, that's all it does.
It really does. In fact, when you're doing tour budgets, big label or independent, we factor in a head count, and if we don't sell that merch, we're going to come up short.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, unfortunately, I'm usually the last of the breadline. But, hey, you know what? I'll die for my music if I haven't already.
And that's the way it should be. That's a true rock and roller right there. And you guys rock. Thanks for being here at Blue Ridge, and thanks for being on The Adventures of Pipe Man.
Thanks, Pipe Man.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.